But it's certainly good to be here with you tonight. I'm glad you were able to come out. And I trust tonight that as we're sitting together, you will look at your life and compare the Bible and ask yourself, is that my life? Am I living the way I should be living? You know, if we're living this life, it's not always easy to live for the Lord, because so much of the world tries to pull us away. So many things that we see, what we do, maybe they're not pleasing to God, but they should be. But the good news is we can change. We don't have to go on living like we're living if we're living for Satan. We can change our life, and we can live for Him. But we must make that decision ourselves to decide to do that, and keep doing that until we're caught from this life. You know, as we live in this world, we get adjusted to it, don't we? If I go to certain parts of the world, they have foods that they eat, and I don't know if I could eat. I guess I could. I guess I'd get hungry enough, I could. But I wonder if I could, because to me it's just, it's different from what I'm used to eating, and it would take me a while to get adjusted to it and get used to it. You know, they talk about living in the South and how the temperature down here is so warm, and how we get adjusted to that. I'm not too sure we get too well adjusted, because it's still pretty hot on me sometimes. But you know, you hear people talk about that. They come down here from up north as well. You make me all God, I just can't hardly, it's just too much for me, so it's kind of hard for them to get adjusted to it. But think about adjusting to the world and what the world is. In other words, how do you fit in? We always kind of want to blend in, don't we? We don't want to stand out. This other thing, I remember not long ago, my dog was talking about granddaughter Taylor, and Taylor's 15, and she said, now, Taylor's at age where, you know, you don't want to draw a picture of yourself. So one night we're hitting this restaurant in bed. Who's that over there? And he said, yeah, that's Paul. Because Rachel thinks something about this. He shouldn't be pointing, but, you know, you just sometimes you just do something before you do that. You just kind of got away with Taylor. And so you kind of want to blend in, don't you? You want to do that? Kind of blend into the world and kind of, well, that can be dangerous. Did you know that? Because we get kind of blended in, and we just kind of live like the world, and act like the world, and talk like the world, and dress like the world, and live like the world, and so what does the world see us as? Them. That's right. They see us as being just part of them. So they spend everything in our life and their life, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, and how they spend their time, how they spend their money. So they kind of feel like we're just like they are. But tonight, let's think about that. And let's look at some things about how the world is and how have we bring it in or adjusted to it, and should we keep doing that? You know, when we think about Jesus Christ our Lord, He never adjusted to this world. He never adjusted Himself. Nor did He try. No adjustment was necessary. It was not desired. He came to change the world, not to become adjusted to it. He didn't seek popularity. He didn't seek fame, glory, or gold. And in fact, he said in James 4:4, you adulterous and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know what said that? He said, if you're a friend of the world, you're God's enemy. He said, we don't want to be God's enemy, do we? No, no. That's strong language, what James said. And he calls you an adulterer. An adulteress. You notice that? You know what that is? That's spiritual adultery. Because as a Christian, we are married to Christ, because the church is called His bride. And so, in effect, we are married to Him through the church. And so, if I am a friend of the world, I am committing spiritual adultery. See what he's saying? And if I'm not careful, as I adjust to the world, I will commit that very thing. recognizing in this world, churches are in opposition to our Lord. Seeking for popularity among men means turning our back on our Lord. While we seek fame and fortune and glory, we're losing sight of what is supreme and what it should be to us. In fact, in Matthew 60, says that 61st, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Would you say in your life tonight that the first thing you seek is the kingdom of God? Where is it on your priority list? You say, when I put it on, you say, it's right there at number one. It is everything. When we seek the Lord, is everything. And that's one thing in life that I do. I seek the Lord. And I seek to do what is right. And that's exactly what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6. He told his disciples, the work that I hate you, but men hate it, because I testify to it that the works thereof are evil. He could have been the most popular man that ever lived on the face of this earth. He could have gone along with what they were doing. But he didn't do it, did he? He went against them. And he went against them to their face. He told them not to their face. They didn't have to worry about what he was going to say to their back, because he told them to their face. And they despised him for it. They hated him for it. They would have figured out ways to take his life away for what he was telling them. He was not trying to get adjusted to their lives and to the world. He was not trying to do that. He wasn't about to win any popularity contest on this earth. Bible says they assembled together chief priests and scribes and elders of the people and consulted that they might take Jesus and kill him. Matthew 26. None could accuse Jesus of courting the favor of the world. No, they cannot. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me in John 6 and 38. Jesus showed no adjustment. He showed no alignment. He was not in step with the world and the way the world was behaving. He said, I'm not of this world in John 8 and 23. But what about me and you? He tells me in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not conform to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what that means is that you cannot be like the world. You cannot act like the world, and live like the world, and talk like the world, and dress like the world. You got to be transformed. You cannot conform to the world. And we understand that, don't we? But he says the way to do that is to renew your mind. Now you say, well, now I've got the same mind that I've had for years. But he says there's got to be something new going into your mind. And let me tell you tonight, what you are is what you think. And what you think is what you read and what you meditate on and what you watch. That's right. That's what you are. And so if you don't renew your mind, if you're going to still watch and doing the same old things and read the same old things, you're not going to renew your mind. You've got to get your head in the book. Or you're not going to change. You'll be just as bad as you are tonight if you are bad, and perhaps you are not, and hopefully you are not. Next year, if you live that long as you are tonight, you'll have the same old thoughts, the same old lust, the same old desire, the same old indifference. You're not going to change unless you get your head in the Word. You got to take time to do it. You ever not happy with yourself? You're not happy with your station in life, who you are? But you know? Well, whose fault is that? People are even joking and say, I'm not as much time as I should. You know, it's not funny. It's sick. It's sad. And we know about so many things, and we've got such so many people that are so wise. Brilliant people. But what about God's Word? we got to renew the mind if we're going to change. And if you're going to conform to the Word, you can do it real easy. You can fit right in. That's right. You can. You just fit right in. But we must not conform. We must not conform to this world. In fact, 1 John 2 says, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Father's in the world. Three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Kind of goes as your age goes. Lust of lust, lust of sexual lust. Lust of the eyes, you know, get the point of life where what you see is what you want, don't you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you get to the point of life when you get older, you want to talk about what you got. Mm-hmm. You brag about it. Don't you? Tell people that. Pride of life. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Colossians 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you are dead, if you are dead, well, I'm not dead. But he says, I am. You know what he's talking about? Dead to the world. That's right. That's what he's talking about. That old man of sin is dead. You have risen. You've been baptized. You rose again. You're dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. Rather than trying to adjust this world, we must be preparing for a far better place than this. As Brother Ed said in his lesson, is your suitcase packed? You need to throw in some more things. You know what you need to do? Are you ready to go? If you say you are, you know what Paul said about his life? He said, I'm ready to be off to the time I depart his hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And you know what else he said? And not today only, but unto all those that what? Want to put his appearing off? No, the luck is appearing. Would you like to see the Lord come back right back this red hot second? I mean right now. Would you like to see it tonight? There's some of you, I'd actually sit there right now and say, you can rest assured I'd like to see it tonight. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go there and drive back home tonight. Oh yeah. We gotta be ready. We got to love his appearing. I want to see the Lord. Don't you? I want to see him. Oh, absolutely. I have no intention of being lost. By the grace of God. I don't. I'm humbly thankful for what he's done for me. And I know I've got to set my house in order. I know that. And I must do this with my life right now. There's not going to be another life. There's not going to be a thousand years. There's not going to be any time left for you. Ready? Now's my time and now's your time. And when I talk to you tonight, I want you to know that now. I want you to get prepared. I want you to see the urgency of being ready to meet the Lord. Your day and your life is here with Christ and God. Oh, Jesus said one time, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man who should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yes, my friends, we cannot conform to this world. We must not adjust to this world. We must be transformed. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. With what? Having the mind of Christ, we see. What was Christ's mind? His mind, Christ's mind was to serve, to do God's will. That's what was in him. That's what he did. Let me tell you what is easy to get adjusted. Oh, yes, it is. The enticements of this world are ever with us. It becomes easy to me to wear the name of Christ while embracing a non-aggressive pact with the world. Let me say that again to you. It becomes easy to wear the name of Christian while having a non-aggressive pact with the world. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of ignore people, so just let it slide. Let it go. I ask you a question. If you really feel like if somebody loves you, that they're going to let you drown and not throw a rope to you. Do you really feel like if somebody loves you, that they're going to let you die in sin and not try to bring you out? Just let you alone. Let you go. Let you live that old way. You know that's why Jesus said what he did, because he loved us. And he knew that if we live and people live like they are, they're not going to be saved. So but he knows that. And we know that too. But sometimes we just go on in the world and just kind of blend in and let it go. Sometimes Christians become so adjusted to the world that not only condone sin, but they practice it. That line of demarcation between Christ and the world is obscured by so-called Christians. Until the world sees very little difference. I know this. It's not that we rebel against God, though. It really shows how far we've drifted. You know, sheep, they don't stand people in the flock, do they? They just kind of wander off. Many times, seeking greener pastures. And they become lost. You feel like that about your life? You've kind of wandered off. You moved away from Randolph County. You want to get a place where you can make more money. Oh, where are you going to go to church? Oh, we're meeting out of home. Well, that's good. It's going to be difficult. Try. Greener pastures, more money. Our attitude begins to change. What changes our attitude? Now, I've got written on the board. I don't know if y'all can read this, but that's a quote. And I don't know if you've ever seen that before. But it's talking about the influence of Hollywood. Have you ever thought about how much it influences your life and mine? Have you ever thought about that? I've been thinking so much about this last, I guess, 3-4 days. It's been just dominating my thoughts in some way. Because I thought so much about it, how they influence our life. But this man said this, and I couldn't agree more. The dominant factor, Hollywood, in determining our attitude on sexual freedom, adulterous liberty, divorce, and remarriage. We have no idea how much they influence our life. Through styles, what we wear, what we eat, where we go. How much have you thought about that much? What do you think about Hollywood? What do you think about? And I wrote down a bunch of things, what I think about. Wild parties, cursing, swearing, nakedness, divorce and remarriage. I know what Henry Fonda said about his life. He said, he's dead now, of course. He said, I've been married 5 times. 2 of my former wives have killed themselves. He said, I'm not happy with myself. I thought that was so sad. He was probably in his 70s when he said this. He said, people confuse me with the roles I played in the movies. I thought about how sad. To come to the end of your life and to think you're not happy with your life. And we think about divorce and remarriage out there, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. How many times have we been married? What else you think about? Alcohol? Fornication, adultery, violence, abortion, men marrying men, women marrying women. improper touching of the opposite sex. Can you agree? Have you ever thought for 1 minute? Do you ever go to PG movies? I have no idea what movies cost. I don't know. But I know they're rates. I know we got rates on. But have you ever gone? What does that mean? Parental guides. But have you ever stopped and thought about what your child is watching and what your child is learning? Have you ever thought about a boy sitting there and here's what that actor says? Some kind of line he feeds that girl to have his way with her. And he what? He learns. Oh, I remember that. And I got something like this today. I wonder how much sin has been stoned by what he's seen on the screen and what he's heard. I wonder. I mean, when a man got out of prison, he got in a commissioner's car that came in and got in the trunk. He popped the trunk, got in the trunk, and got away. And Colin said, how'd you know that? He said, I saw it on TV somewhere. In the movie. How somebody got in. But then how many ideas have come up from what somebody else has thought? And that's how they learn. What does your child learn? Let me tell you what. If it says PG, I know. I would know for sure if it's not. I know fitting is not a good word, but it's not suitable, I should say. If it's not suitable for a child, it's not suitable for me. Oh, no. Do you think I'm going to spend my money? And I'm going to support people that believe in this? Oh, they tell you what they believe. They're going to use to tell you what they believe. And oh, yes, they will. Oh, can't you see me come out of one of those meetings? What bad you doing that? Oh, yeah, I know. Real spiritual things in there. Oh, you did? You did? Oh, I thought they had cursing and swearing in there. Oh, yeah. But I didn't do none of it. Oh, you didn't? But back in that red one was born? Yeah? What does it say? Well, let's see what it says. Romans 1. Last part of that chapter, he talks about all kinds of sins. It's all about homosexuals. The men leading the natural use of the women, burning their lust one to another. He talks about they did not retain God in their knowledge, being filled all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, which is hate, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, even a single thing, disobedient to parents. He goes on to say all these things, all this catalog of things. But then, you know what the clincher on this? You say, no, wait a minute, please. I don't do any of that. Okay. What's the clincher? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Oh, wait a minute. What are you saying, preacher? What did he say? What did Paul say? So you go there. You take your money and buy your ticket. You drive there. And you sit down in there. And you watch the whole thing. And if you not took pleasure in it, I want to know what it is. What is it? Tell me. It says PG, so you got to have some earmuffs for your kids, hey. And something you got to cover their eyes. Is this not saying? And you support those people. It's like I told you before we go. It's like they're telling you what they believe. Oh, they'll tell you enough in a minute. Oh, yes, they will. And you know, when I was a child, I heard sermons like this. Oh, yes, I did. But where have we gone to now? You ever sit there and you ever go to one of those places when you get outside, you feel like you need to take a shower? You know? You've heard them thinking you the Lord's name in vain. You know where you want to stand it? You're right here at the Lord's table. Oh, yes, you were. And you took up against broken glass. And you took up against shed blood. You had it in your mouth on your tongue. You swallowed.
You think about this wonderful gift he gave. He gave his life. And there you are paying somebody money to hear a news that's not even made.
You think you're going to be getting it? Do you? You think that's okay? You say, well, it's PG. Well, it's not GA, is it? Well, GA Christian, not approved. You want a Jesus to go to that? So, well, man, now, preacher, you got to realize we go out to eat and we take in our meal. I wouldn't go to a G. I don't think it's something to support. You say, well, we got it in our home. Well, that's something else too. What do you want in your home? You going to go around there with that and rent a movie and bring it home and it's X, R, rated, whatever they rate those things? And you going to sit there and watch that? If you ever read the book of Revelation, what it says about how some people live in 21 and 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, and whoremongers. And say, that's not whoremongering. I don't know what whoremongering is. Whoremongers. Sorcerers, my daughter, and all liars, have a part in the late spring with 5 minutes on because of the second death. Adjusting to the world. But you know what we do? We get used to hearing that kind of thing. We get used to seeing that news feel like that has not almost completely now. Is that Christianity? You say, well, that preacher don't fit me. I'm going to watch that and I'm going to feel I'm okay. Well, let me tell you what you're wrong. You know why I tell you wrong? Because the Bible says you are. You ever read 1 Corinthians 15 and 33? What are you saying? He tells you flat out right there what he do for you. He says, do not deceive evil communications corrupt good marriage. And says that there is a greater communicator than the motion pictures and television. I don't know what it is. Tell me what it is. I don't know it. I've never seen it. I've never heard it. It is the greatest communicator I believe has ever been made. It is the devil's being. It's the devil's workshop. There's the world. Just like I told you, when you read my book in 1 John, there's the world and all the struggle. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All wrapped up. And you paid your money to get it. My brother might not say, but my son's dead as a preacher on work. I think he had a good point behind my feet. But we need to take a long, hard look at what we do. If we do, maybe you're not. But Hollywood influences us. And you can rest assured your kids. They blew our antennas up. You know, when I was a kid, my antennas stayed up all the time. I promise you. I was watching people, listening to people, especially grown-ups. I'd hang around them, listen to them. Well, I kept them antennas up. You better believe these kids keep those up too. They watch how you live. They watch what you do, where you go, what you say. And they know. Now, I ain't even got on the X-ray or the R-ray. You know you're not going to go to that. You know you're going to spend a lick on that. Surely not. Surely not. Oh, be careful. What else is Hollywood and Smith talk about? Well, let's talk about the hair. What do you believe about the hair? What do we believe about the hair? Sister, you believe you can touch your hair? Do you? Brady, you think you can let your hair go long? What do you think? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read some things about the hair. And I think we're going to say the same thing here. The influence of Hollywood. Let me tell you what I believe. You want to turn over there with me before we go into this. I don't believe a woman can cut a hair. I don't believe you can cut the slit in. I don't believe you can trim it. I believe it's always come back. A man's got to keep his hair cut. Okay? And so, Let me tell you why I believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, is a shame unto him? And what did he say? It's common sense. I want to ask you a question. Say I moved to Texas about 3 years ago. And after that 3 years, he hadn't seen me in 3 years. So y'all call that run of the Bible this week, right now. So if you know Sunday morning, for 3 years I've been letting my hair grow. So I come here on Sunday morning, and that stuff is down on my shoulder. Whoa! You gonna let me get in the pulpit? I don't any more believe you're letting me get up here. Anyway, I don't believe. Do you? I don't believe. You say, whoa. Somebody say, whoa, Brother Banks. And we ain't seen you. Why, we didn't know about this. I said, well, I'll put it up on my head. No, you won't. You're going to cut it off. Okay. Why? You know what the Bible says. A man has long hair, it's a shame to it. But he says that if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. For the Lord has given her, given by who? Who gives you? God. For a covering. That's what that means. Okay, we're going back to the same old question. How long is long? You ever heard that? How long is long? Well, let's see if we can ask that question tonight. Okay? So you asked that question. Okay, please, how long is long? Okay, now. According to Hollywood sometimes, it may be very short. According to style, it may be very short. Or it might be quite long. But say we're going to have a meeting. Correcting people. And we're going to decide how long is long. Okay? From the congregation. And so we get in this meeting and I say, okay, I believe that long is as long as it will grow. The sign of the floor. That's long. No, somebody probably say. You know if you're a woman passed through a knees, you know that's long, preacher. No, man, don't tell me that if her hair is down to her waist, that's long. You know that's long. I mean, anybody know that's long? Oh, come on. If it's down to her shoulders, that's long. So think about what I'm telling you. I'm trying to make a point with you. What am I saying? We all got different ideas, haven't we, about long. Somebody might say, you know, your hair is long. Well, they might do it. Somebody got a head shape, they might say. So how long is long? Well, what if we go on the same thing? We're going to say this. The elders, the big church, they're going to say they got elders. If it's 36 inches long, it's long. From the top of their head to the bottom end of the hair, that's 36 inches, that's long. So they always agree on that. Tell the church, okay, we agree. It's got to be that long, or as long as it will grow. And some women won't grow that long. I know that. My daughter, it won't grow that long. And Susan does. It's way on down there. So, you know, mother daughter. And it's so different. And I can't explain that. Why some people call them those? I don't know that, but they are. So, we're going to say those got to be as long as it will go with 36 inches. And so we decide that. And so on judgment day, and follow my point, we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to tell the Lord that. Now what if he went along with that? Okay, just for my story, okay? For my point. Get out the measure, sir. Get out the ruler, the yardstick, and here's the circle 35 3/4. Quarter inch. Too short. We believe that. We know better than that, don't we? We know it's not that way. So, we know because of what he says here that you and I aren't going to decide how long he's long. That's right. It's got to be uncut. Let me read you something. Read verse 2. For if the woman be not covered, what you're covering now? It's long hair. He just told you that. If a woman had long hair, the glory of her hair is given her buckle, and given to her by God. Look at verse 3. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, a shaven, let her be covered. You know what he said? He said, if you're going to cut the end of it off, you might as well shave your head. Here is another version. Maybe you understand it better. If a woman refuses to have a covering, which a covering is her long hair, then she should cut off all her hair. But because it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Friends, I didn't write the book. I just try to get people to believe it and obey it. That's what it says. That's what we got to do. You can rest assured you'll see this again someday. You know, there's a sister, and she's passed away now. Frank, I can call her name. She went to church here. Carolyn, Dane Crenshaw. What? Carolyn Crenshaw, okay. You know, she passed away 100 years ago. But one day she called me, and she had counsel, and she was close to death. And she wanted me to come by. I think she lived up here somewhere, close by the church out there. So she told me to come in there. She's sick, and I think she lived 2 more weeks. She said, Brother Bass, I'm going to talk to you about something. I said, okay. She said, you know, I got cancer, and I'm very sick, and I'm probably not that long to live. She said, I want to talk to you about my hair. You think it's okay for me to cut my hair? What would you tell her? You need to go ahead and get it trimmed up and cut, you know, look good in the casket. Is that what you tell her? No. What would you tell her? Here's a sister. Facing death. And she told me, she asked me this. Let me tell you something tonight. If you know somebody that doesn't believe in it, whatever you do, don't say anything to them to discourage them from doing it. You know some of the times what's involved in this? It's this right here. Now looks. Would you not agree? Convenience. Style, whatever the style is. The last time I picked this, it was over at lecture, I guess, not along the road. I got told that that Thursday night, enough. And there's one more I missed. Peer pressure. I had no idea. I know I did. The sister told me, because you will not believe the women that will ask you, why don't you cut your hair? You will look younger. You will look better. I didn't know that. Why do we do things like this? Do we know what the Bible says? Do we? Oh, well, we never do what the Bible says. How important is looks? How important is style? How important is convenience? And how important is peer pressure? You said, now, Brother Bass, one more thing. Explain to us verse 16. Okay, you got your Bible? Let's look at that, please. Verse 16. Let me read it to you. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, we are the churches of God. You know what Paul said here? Every man had a problem with it in his day. And something was contingent about it. Said, Paul, you have priests everywhere. And Paul says, yes, I have. We know that Paul did. He's inspired of God. We know he preached this everywhere. And Paul says, there in verse 16, he does. That's all they say. You know Paul will tell you something. You say, well, if you want to argue about it, forget it. No. Because on the day of Pentecost, you know, when he comes, and when Peter said, repent and be baptized, you know. But they didn't say, well, we don't want to do that. He said, well, just forget it. That's not the way the Bible is. And brothers and sisters and friends, remember, read your Bible. See what it says. And know for sure it's here for me to do. See, the Bible never, ever, anywhere stresses out with you. Never. Always in with you. In fact, the Bible talks about the hidden man of the heart. It talks about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit in a woman, which is inside of God, is very quiet. That's what the Bible talks about. adjusted to the word. We do get adjusted, don't we? And if we go back in Jesus' day, who that was, Mary, that anointed his feet with ointment and waxed his feet with her hair, Jesus' feet. You know about that? Kind of like it's pretty long, doesn't it, to do something like that? If you notice, the world changes, people around us change, style change. That's right. And if we're not careful, it influences our life. And we become conformed to the world. Immodest dress. Please. Please, what did you do? The Bible says that women are going and says immodest apparel. Please do. If we're not careful, though, we see the world we live in really with it. And we cannot do it, brethren. It's just, we cannot do it. We cannot conform or adjust to this world. It seems to be adjusted. And ask yourself next time you want to go to a movie, what am I supporting? Who am I supporting? Is this where I should be? Tonight we stand and sing a song of invitation. If you're not a member of the church, ask you tonight to come to be baptized. Believing on Jesus Christ. Confessing that belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repenting of your sins. Tonight you can be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Friends, if things are not right in your life, you can change. Change tonight. Get on the Lord's side. Fight in the Lord's army. And be ready when your life is over and deserved. If you're a member of the church, you have not lived as you should, please come back tonight and confess your faults. Please come back tonight and ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer. And God will forgive you. Restore your name to the fold of here to send return to the people. Why not tonight? Why don't you come? As we stand and as we sit.
There is no point.